Hi everyone, my name's Larry. I'm an addict and an alcoholic.
Hi Larry.
I wasn't nervous until about supper time tonight, so just bear with me here. I'll come into shape. My experience is, thank you for asking me to speak, Sean. It's an honor to speak at an AA meeting, you know, especially watching this place close down in 2 weeks and it's near the end of it, and an opportunity to give back something that was given to me freely. And I'm really glad today that I know I'm an alcoholic and I'm in this program. A little bit of my past here. A lot of people, they come from dysfunctional families, and some people don't come from dysfunctional families. I come from a full-blown dysfunctional family. And being very dramatic, I took everything very sensitive. I took everything to heart, and it took me a long time to recognize that I would take just the bad out of a situation and amplify it. My father wasn't a very nice man, and I hung on to all the things that he told me that affected me in a negative way. And I built my low self-esteem out of that. And I didn't pay too much attention to the good stuff that he was giving me, because he was a good man as well. I've heard this a lot at meetings. I felt very different, very, very much outsided. What I did was, early in school, what I did was I hung around with some troublemakers. So we'd do stuff, we'd put on some weird outfits and would have little hats that we'd all wear and would go around and make trouble. I'd have some kind of a self-esteem, because I really felt outside of everything. It was really, really heavy. I got expelled from elementary school with my three best friends, the three of us, and what they did was they decided to do is they put us into high school, because they didn't know what to do with, I don't remember the other two, but with me, they decided to put me into high school because I was failing, and I was like ripping the school apart, ripping the sinks out of the school, and just trying to fit it, you know, and trying to be, you know, try to have some fun, and it was nice to feel part of something. It was something very destructive, but that was what I was up to. So what happened when I got into high school, there was no drugs in my elementary school, and when I got into high school, that whole thing started again. I didn't know anybody. I was really, really shy. I lost that little connection that I had in elementary school. It was awful. It was just awful. I shared this before, but I'll share it because it's just one of the points that shows so much how obsessive my mind works and how insecure I can be. Is that in high school, what I'd do, it was a really big school, so what I'd do was at lunchtime, I would sit down by myself, and then I'd look around and I'd think, okay, people are looking at me. And people are going to see that Larry's by himself. He's not in his cool gang. So what he's going to do is he's going to walk. He's going to walk around. And then after a while, I thought, okay, well, people are going to see that Larry keeps walking around by himself. Okay, during this huge school. So what I'd do is I'd start at lunch. This is my lunchtime. What I'd do is I'd start walking outside of the school. And then I thought, well, after a while, I thought, people are going to see Larry keeps walking by himself these different routes. So finally, at the end of it all, the last thing that I remember of this was that I would walk in a one direct line far from the schools. I could, in 45 minutes, turn around and come back. Very, very obsessive. And very, very low self-esteem. I mean, it's incredible. Just consumed with this low self-esteem and how I didn't fit in. And then, bang, in came the drugs. And in came the alcohol. And I was done. And I became one of the school's butchers. There was many of them, but I was one of the school pushers. So right away I had the... my self-esteem went up because all of a sudden I was important. When I arrived at school, people came around to see me and would deal drugs and take our drugs and get drunk. And I pretty much, after that happened, there was really no school going on. I would go to school, and I don't know how I did it, but you know, I looked at my report cards a couple years ago because I needed them for something. I decided I wanted to do some schooling, and I needed my math, and I took out my report card, and it was like, okay, there was 25 absence in this class, and there was 50 in this class, and there was 3 in that one, and it was all like, I'd not go to this class, but I'd go to that class, and somehow my parents just, I don't remember getting in shit for this stuff. You know, it's like, where were you today? It's like, does none of this stuff make sense? But I slipped through all that. And back then, it, you know, that was seemed to me to be a good thing. And now it's like, wow, so just part of the process. So I missed a lot of school. And what I did was we just basically started doing, me and the people that were around me, we took acid at 8:30 in the morning and went to class. Finished a day drunk and try to get myself together to get on the school bus to go back home to not get beat up by my father. And that process ended when these people came over to my house, and I had somebody who wanted to beat me up because I owed them money, and I was scared to go back to school, and these people showed up to buy a dog off my father, and they said, my father was asking what they were doing, and they were counselors on a treatment center. Back then it was called Sparrow, and that was a live-in treatment center. And so I walked in the house, and I was, you know, buzzing on whatever it was, because it was either alcohol and drugs all the time. And they asked me if they would like to go away, and I thought, well, I don't want to get beat up, honestly. And nothing was happening at school. I wasn't engaged in anything. I mean, I was going to fail everything anyways. It made no difference. I had no idea what was on the exams because I wasn't in class. And I thought, well, I can get away from getting beat up, and I don't want to get beat up. So I went to this treatment center. And it was, I think I spent four months there altogether. And nothing clicked. I remember some really nice stuff. I remember, I hear this when people come into an AA meeting, nice, warm, caring people that didn't judge me. I remember that. A nice place. It was nice. I remember walking out of there and having this fond feeling for spirituality, religion. I didn't know what it was back then, but it was something really, really nice. And I decided that I wanted to go get high again, and I took off and went back into my using. And the more I used, the more I started drinking, and drinking became a real base. It was like there would be some drugs thrown in there, but you were drunk. And that went on and on and on and on. Now, I've been sober now for a little over 3 years. I'm 40, almost 47. I started using and drinking when I was 14. I might have got drunk a couple times before 14, but really, at 14, it was daily. It was daily, and it wasn't daily because I needed it. It was daily because I was having a ball. And it went on. And then what happened was it started not being a ball anymore. But when I did it, I felt better. And I went on and on and on. And then it descended to the point that I couldn't stand it anymore. And I couldn't stop. I mean, I just couldn't stop. And I wanted to stop. And there was a speaker here that spoke a couple months ago, and she talked about how she felt like an outsider. And it was such a great description of, you know, me looking here, and here I am stuck here with my can of beer and my cigarettes because I smoke, and beer cans, and I have to have one on the ground there because I wouldn't want to walk to the house. And it's like trapped, and it's like I'd want to. I'm a bit of an artist. I do sculpture now. I mean, I wasn't doing anything back then. And I wanted to do stuff. You know, I wanted to move gardens around. And when I was in the winter, I'd like to move the furniture around the house. And it's like I wasn't doing it anymore. I'd sit there and think about it and realize that I would never do it because I wouldn't let go of the cigarette and the can of beer. And I was like, there. And I couldn't stand it anymore. And what I did was I went into a treatment center. I chose this time to go into a treatment center. And this is 17, 18 years ago. And I had a physical addiction to cocaine. I had to put myself into a detox in the Montreal General. And I had 21 days in there. And they put me on major tranquilizers and psychiatrists. And they thought I was crazy. Oddly enough, you know. And I didn't make the 21 days. I had quit my job. I had to get on welfare to get into this treatment center. I had all this in process, and I was supposed to do this, and I left on the 17th day and went out and got drunk and stopped. And these people called me up, and there was a waiting list. And when they called me up, they said, so do you want to come in? And it was like, oh, geez, you know, it's like, I didn't think that was going to happen anymore. And it was like about a month and a half after I had been in the detox. And I said, sure. So that was when I said goodbye, because the work knew that I was leaving for this. And this was a six-month live-in, and I went there. And this was my choice to change my life. And I went there, and I finished the program, the six-month program. And we went to AA meetings. We went to all the other meetings, the ENA, the CA, and we did our 12 steps, and we worked on all this stuff. And we lived inside, and it was just fantastic. It was just fantastic. And I had peace, and I was happy, and wonderful things were happening inside of me. And I got out of there, and I started working with. They had already wanted. They knew I was coming out, and they asked me to go work with them. And I was painting with these guys that were in the program. So I had my boss was in the program. The guy that I painted with besides him was in the program, and I was doing this. And I kept struggling with, why can't I smoke a joint? Now this is the problem that came in my addiction, because I tried the rum and cokes. I tried changing them for beers. I tried changing the blue dry to the Molson dry. I tried all these different ways, you know. I'm a bartender, and when I was bartending, I used to have a double rum and coke there, 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 and there. These were all bottles. And the reason I did it is because when I'm going around, I always knew I could find a glass there, because I was so fucked up, I could never find my glass. So what I did was, Einstein over here set it up, so I found him. And so this permitted me to be drunk at work, my time off, pass out, get up, and do it again. The reason I stopped there was because I had to accept the fact that I was addicted. I was the addict. I was the alcoholic. It wasn't the alcohol. It wasn't the marijuana. It was Larry that had the problem. And this is where I screwed up 17 years ago, is why can't I smoke marijuana? And I fumbled around with that, and we had discussions with my sponsor. And finally, after 3 months here in Montreal, so I was 9 months sober, I went out and I said, that's it, I'm going to smoke a joint. And I got so excited about that oblivion thing that I didn't even get to the marijuana. I went out and I got drunk, and I went to my drug of choice at the time, which was cocaine. And I stayed out for another 15 years. Now, we're talking about sleeping behind plastic art, making $1,000 a week, and sleeping behind plastic art, walking home from Montreal to St. Bruno, because I had $20 left, and it was like, no, I'm going to spend this trying to get higher, and I'll walk home. The things I did to support my addiction, it's you know, it's one thing I don't like to think about anymore because I kind of live more in the sunlight these days, you know. But awful, just awful, just a horrible, horrible way to live. And I was living like that before I went to this drug treatment center. And when I came out of there, I went back there. But I got swallowed up by my addiction. And I stayed there for another 15 years. You know, that is powerful. Powerful. And this denial and denial that just wouldn't not stop. Do you know I came in here 3.5 years ago and I had come here to clean my act up for 3 weeks, you know? I mean, I couldn't stop drinking. I couldn't stop taking drugs. What? You know, it just baffles me how incredibly strong it is. And sometimes today, and I don't think about drugs and alcohol anymore, thank God to this program, you know. It's very rare that it happens, but it just astonishes me when I do think about it. It's like, whoa, hang on a second here, you know. maybe this time. And this is one of the great things about, you know, we get to do what we want in this program. And I've chosen to go to 2 meetings a week for the rest of my life. And this is one of the things I've chosen to do. I've chosen to meditate. And I am so lucky because my sponsor meditates. And he taught me, he kept saying, you know, Larry, well, you know what I do is meditate, you know. And I was like, well, show me how to meditate, you know. And he said, well, you've only been sober for three months. It's like, just, you know, show me. Anyway, so he told me how to do it and what to do and what to read and so on and so forth, what he did, you know. And I do it. And I've also made that decision that I'm going to do that twice a day for the rest of my life. And these are the two things that ground me, that make me feel safe, that as long as I do that today, I'm going to be okay. I'm going to be okay. Because this program teaches me a lot. And it also always reminds me twice a week that you're an alcoholic. You know, that doesn't know. Because the greatest thing, you know, the greatest thing that happened to me was that I put the alcohol down. And my life was a wreck. I mean, just a mess. But I stopped that destruction. And then started the growth, the healing process. And should I ever pick that up again? And having had that experience of that 15-year, I mean, that's a hell of a slip there. Having had, and knowing that the powerlessness and that whole, I mean, this whole spiritual, they said I just did great in this program. And I felt gratitude. And I felt, you know, a connection spiritually. And this stuff was wonderful. I was devouring it. It was all gone. It just all went away. You know, when I came back, I was like, hey, God. God. There's God all over the place, you know? And it even took me a while to recognize that. And I started looking. You know, we're always in a basement of a church or something, you know? And just to show you, I mean, I was in a 6-month program. And all that stuff disappeared. So I've had the experience of what it's going to be like if I get to go back again. You know, except it's going to be worse. And so I look and thank God because of the denial that I was in for so long, that I was an alcoholic and a drug addict, is gone for today because of this program. So that gives me the freedom to now grow, you know. And that's what I've been doing. That's what I've been doing, it's been just wonderful. It's that first beginning part, and you know, I have this wonderful sponsor, and I'm so grateful that I have this guy. You know, I went up to a meeting, and it was like, give me your phone number, and then the next day I called him. I said, "You want to be my sponsor?" It's like it was the third guy I asked, and the first two said no. So it was like, I'm like, "Oh God, geez, rejection," you know? And he said, "Yeah, well, yeah, whatever. Yeah, sure. You know, you can call me every day. There's no such thing as sponsors, but if you want to call me, we can be friends, and feel free to call me every day if you want." And I'd call him up and start this whole process of recognizing that now that Larry's put down the destructive chemical here, he's got one hell of a problem, you know. Obsession with self, you know. Disease of self. And all this suffering and all this stuff going on, and I couldn't stand coming out of the house, you know. As soon as I saw somebody, it was just crazy. I could not stand being in sobriety. Except I knew that looking at you people, there's people that made it. People that have peace, and they're not destroying themselves anymore. And the destruction wasn't happy. I mean, it was awful being trapped in alcoholism at the end. It was an awful, awful place to be. That's what it is. I forgot. I wanted to die. Larry Reddy wanted to die. He wanted to jump off a bridge. And when I thought that, I thought, my God, that is so not you, Larry, to just want to die. So helpless, so hopeless that I'd ever stop drinking. And now, through the steps, and through the fourth step to recognize, I mean, today, you know, I recognize that if I'm not feeling good, then I'm, through my personal inventory, I mean, I do it pretty simple these days, it's just my ego, you know. It's as simple as that today. And sometimes I can be pointing at the other person for a while, and then it's, "Hey, Larry, you're not feeling good." Okay. When I did my inventory, everything for me came down to self-seeking, selfish, and frightened. So it became really, really simple for me to recognize. It's a circle that's, it's just going to go round and round and round. I'm going to fear losing my job and fear losing my job and fear this and fear that and feel horrible and want and want and want. You know, you know, you know. And it's like, just keep hurting, Larry. Just keep hurting. Just keep hurting. Just keep hurting. You know? Go out and get drunk. You know. And this process of trusting, you know, when I started, my higher power was you guys. It's like I said, I can't do this God stuff here. You know, it's. I believed in a God somewhere, but it's not a God that could help me with my alcoholism. You know, it's not something that I could touch or be with. It is today, though. You know, it is today. Today it's like, you know, let go and let God, and you know, let His grace through me, and let go of my ego and embrace life. And I have something wonderful my sponsor taught me, and that is, Larry, look where you were 6 months ago. How you would have dealt with this situation, because I can look at, yeah, but I'm scared and everything, but it's like, yeah, but you're less scared, you know. There's more light and more faith, there's more peace, there's more tolerance, there's more all these wonderful qualities in everything I do today. And I can look at the different levels, and Larry can stop looking at him and saying, yeah, but you're still doing this. You know, you're still, find something wrong that you can pick on and beat himself up. It's like, well, no, look at this. Yeah, but look here. Everything's getting better. Everything's growing. And I am, it's incredible, you know, because when I walked in here, it made me sick to listen to people talk about gratitude. And and, you know, for the grace of God and all this stuff, but for the grace of God, I'm so grateful to be here today. It's incredible. I have a good life now. I had to take a lot of people out of my life that weren't healthy. And I had to even go shopping for some new friends. It's like, you know, you need some more friends, man. You know, you need to go out and do stuff. And I went out and found some friends that are good and healthy, and, you know, go out today. We went bicycling for, I don't know, 5 hours out to Lachine, and it was just wonderful. Everything was wonderful. There was no hangovers. No one was stopping to shoot up or smoke up or anything. It was really nice, you know. I feel very safe in the fact today that, you know, I was way down there, now I'm here, and I love to be up there, but I just gotta keep working at it. You know, those things I said that I have to do every day, I have to do my steps, I have to recognize where I am. Oh, it's the ego, and get out of there. I have to work on this stuff, but I feel very, very secure, and this is where I feel a great amount of peace, is that I'm going to have peace later, so I can have it now. You know, I'm going to stop fearing about my losing my job, which I'm not losing my job anyways. It's just one of those obsessions. So let go of it now. You know, I can do that stuff. I can, knowing that it's just going to keep getting better. And here's the clincher, is that I let go of these meetings. I let go of my meditations, and I let go of my program, and I get to go right back to where I was, and it's that easy. I have something I don't know if it's unusual, but since I'm in AA, I guess it's not. But I foam at the mouth when I want to drink, and when things go really bad, I start to foam, and it's like whoa, like this is serious. So I can't afford to stay in a dangerous state of mind. Anyways, not that I would even want to anymore. Anyways, you know, but a situation could arise and I can get myself into like an unhealthy relationship. Get in an unhealthy relationship and stay there and just feel horrible, you know. I had to get out of an unhealthy relationship. I was in a relationship for 6 years, and when I got into this program, I was like, oh my God, it was like just friction. It was like, I have to leave this. And it was really, really hard to do. But there's certain things that, you know, you have to, you have to embrace the things that make you feel good, and do not embrace the things that make you feel bad, because they're going to make you feel bad, you know. I've learned so much in this program. You know, I can talk all night. I can't talk all night because I'm not supposed to. But it's extremely, extremely grateful, and I keep learning, and I know the peace will continue to come, and the joy continue to mount as long as I stay in this program. And today, I'm very, very happy to be an alcoholic and to recognize that I have a disease that, if I work on it, man, I can have it all. And thank you very much for listening to me.